Talk about making disciples. Making disciples. There was a scripture I kind of had it in my head and about this, that go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And I wasn't even sure exactly where it was or how it read. And we're going to look at that scripture a little bit, but that's kind of where it got started. And I said earlier that, you know, as I begin to pray and study to see what direction God has to go. There was one thing that I kept hearing, and it was about the body of Christ, that we want to sharpen each other and be able to help as we grow as a body of Christ. Part of that comes from the fellowship and being with one another, and we hear and we have conversations, or we hear of somebody's testimony, and it encourages us. And so thinking about taking that to the next step, which is actually real discipleship, and we're going to look at that in pretty good detail. But let's start with prayer this morning. Father God, we praise you in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We love and honor you. We adore you, Father. And this morning, we just lift up our hearts and our minds unto you, Father, and say, have your way in our life, Lord, and reveal yourself unto us. Show us things about you and who you are and who we are in Christ, Father, in our relationship with you, and help us to grow and mature and to just mature as a believer, to be more adapt or more interested and more compelled to share you and your gospel with the people around us. Lord, we're praising you, exalting you, and thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, making disciples. If you look up that word disciple in like a concordance, many of you guys have a concordance for the King James Bible. It is in the King James, disciple or disciples is in there 273 times. Okay, 272 of those times is in the New Covenant, the New Testament. And so it became a process, or became a real something that needed to be, wanted to be imparted into us in the New Testament. And as you look at that, kind of where they are in the Bible, you begin to see that word disciple or disciples, I think it's more than 250 times. It's in the Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The beginning of Jesus going and teaching, and his disciples, of course, coming along and learning and growing under him. But then he used that term, Jesus did, frequently to describe people, describe those that were coming after him or following after him. And he appointed his disciples and those kind of things. And he even used a reference to the term disciples to emphasize what it meant to be a believer and to continue learning, to that importance of being a devoted disciple. He said something to the effect of, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Okay, that's pretty strong language from our Lord, saying, you know what, it's serious business to be my disciple. It's like you've entered into a relationship with him that he expects, and he has a direction that he is pulling and wanting you to go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John repeatedly use that term to describe the followers of Jesus, saying the disciples came along, or the disciples did this, or the disciples did that. A disciple is simply a learner. It's a student or a pupil. Okay? A disciple of Jesus Christ then would simply be someone who is actively engaged in learning about Jesus Christ. Okay, and since you guys are here this morning, you might fall into that category. You are actively here to learn about Jesus Christ, to foster your relationship, that personal relationship that began with him, and also then to be able to worship him and learn about him and to grow in your faith. Jesus said in our first scripture here in Matthew chapter 28, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We just did that a couple weeks ago, praise God. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, or the end of the world. Okay, now the King James Version uses that word, go ye therefore and teach. Okay, it uses that word teach, where in a lot of the other translations it used the word disciple. Okay, and I want to show you that even in the Amplified Bible is a good description of it. Matthew 28:19 out of the Amplified says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, to believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's go ye into all the world and go and make disciples, go and teach others about him, tell them and that he is worth believing in and leading them towards him. Okay, the commission from Jesus to the disciples that took place here 2,000 years ago in this scripture is still as present today as it was back then. God is calling you and I to go and make disciples. Go and tell people about me. Go and encourage them to have a relationship with me and believe in me. That's what our calling is. You're called by God to not just learn about Jesus, but to go forth then and to lead others into that saving relationship with Jesus Christ and to foster that relationship then by teaching them the ways of Christ. And this is what Jesus said, or this is what Jesus would do. How often have we used that with our kids? And, you know, just the question comes up, you know, man, it's like, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would he feel about that, you know, particular movie, or what would he think about that kind of language from your friend, or how would he treat that person? And so that comes up a lot, and that is part of discipling. It's telling them, here's how Jesus would handle it, therefore that's how we want to handle it. Okay, that's a simple form of discipling. Certain requirements must be fulfilled for real success in leading people, leading lost souls to Christ, and for mentoring them. Okay, fortunately, the number one and the main requirement is very simple, and anyone can meet it. Some of you may have heard of the Spirit-filled evangelist. He's a pastor and author. He's been around, gone now, but was around for a long time. His name is R.A. Torrey. Okay, I've read many of his books. I've given some of you guys books by him. He's a Spirit-filled guy that really laid it out the way that it was. He said it like this. He said, "The one who desires real success in bringing others to Christ must himself be a thoroughly converted person." Thoroughly converted person. Okay. At this point in my life, I don't know if I can convert anymore. I'm already converted to Jesus Christ, right? I believe on him. But in that reference, if you think about as that word converted, as Jesus was addressing his disciples, okay, and Peter in particular, knowing that Peter was about to deny Jesus. Remember Peter, that whole denial thing that he did 3 times? He denied the Lord one night. Okay, well, that whole thing, Jesus knew that he was about to do that. And so he says to Peter, "When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Peter didn't know what he was talking about at the time. It didn't make much sense. He already believed, okay? So here's that verse. Let's look at it. Luke 22, verse 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee." Wouldn't you like Jesus to pray for you? He prays for you. Get this into your heart. Okay. "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Okay, and it's right at this point where Peter blurts out, "Lord, I'm willing to not only go to jail for you, I am willing to die for you." Okay, then Jesus says, "Peter, before the cock crows, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Again, Peter didn't quite understand what he meant, but it's right at that moment that he says that. Peter was in no position to help his brethren until he himself was converted after his denial. Okay, that he needed to convert or to turn again, if you look up that word. It's to turn again back unto his Lord with his whole heart. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, he says unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And again, it's a seriousness of the walk that we have with Christ. If you're not leading others to Christ and having that experience, it may be because you're walking with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, sort of on the fence and maybe not totally sold out for Jesus. Like maybe at one point in your life you were. Some of you remember, "Oh man, when I was a young Christian, I used to do this and do that. I was so, you know, sold out." Or maybe it's a point where you haven't even gotten to yet in your walk. Maybe in your walk with God that, you know what, you've kind of been going through the motions, and maybe that moment is still coming. I'm saying it is still coming. for every one of us, that we have that opportunity to get that sold out, that on fire again. Okay, that evangelist I told you about, R.A. Torrey, he puts it like this. He says, if we desire to bring others to Christ, we must turn away from all sin, all worldliness and selfishness with our whole heart, yielding to Jesus the absolute lordship over our thoughts, our purposes, and our actions. If we are seeking to have our own way, our power will be crippled and souls that may have been saved may be lost. I say it, Gary Gilbert says it like this. Okay, I've told you what R.A. Torrey says. Gary Gilbert says it like this. Evangelizing and leading people to Jesus Christ and discipling them is the most important thing you will ever do in your life. It's more important than any worldly success, any amount of money you can make, any job you could hold, any even raising of your children. How's that for personal? Okay, or anything else that you could do in your life. There is nothing more important than leading people to Jesus Christ and discipling them, teaching them the ways of Jesus. Nothing is as important in your life as that for a Christian believer. Okay, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are qualified to do this. You have entered into that relationship with Him that says, I know the way, now I can tell others the way. You see, God has a plan for the spreading of the gospel, and you're it. Okay? It was part of His plan from the beginning. I'm going to raise up a people that will call on me with their whole heart, and that they then will go and spread that message. God knows what He's doing. He had a plan from the beginning. He has a plan for success in spreading the gospel. To this day, He is still the most widely known and worshiped God in the universe. Okay, His words in the Bible are the most printed book in all of history. It's still, God had a plan and it's still ongoing. It didn't fade away. It didn't fall away. It didn't go away. It is still active. He knows how to spread the gospel of His Son. He determined a plan, even before the world was created, that He would offer His only begotten Son, okay, to live the perfect and sinless life so that all who believe in Him by faith would receive His grace and His forgiveness. That's the plan. If you know that much about the gospel, you know how to point other people to Him. He is the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the one that we have to have. And you should feel a compulsion in your heart to want to share that life-changing, that eternal life-changing message with the people that are around you. Okay, now I said to disciple is to teach. Okay, it is to teach and to instruct. And figuratively, though, it means to enroll as a pupil. Okay, if you can picture that as the people around you, that you are enrolling them as a pupil in the school of Christ. Okay. To disciple someone is to see it as enrolling them as a student in the school of Christ. And with the high value that our society puts on education and how important it is to get a good education, we should understand how important it is to put them in a good school and with good mentorship or good teaching. Okay, the importance of giving them and providing them that good education. Okay, we should be able to see how important that is in the school of Christ. If your son or your daughter had a teacher that they went off to school and they're in school and the teacher is very rebellious and the teacher's telling them, you really don't even have to go to school, I don't even like being here, and they're telling them that school is not important and they're encouraging them to skip school, they're leading with the example that, you know, it's exactly who you don't want your kids to be modeled after. You don't want them to follow in their footsteps, and that's who's teaching them. It's going to be a hard or a difficult environment for them to grow and mature and to foster their personal relationship with what they're supposed to be learning about, or in this case, with the gospel of Christ. In other words, we want to be a good mentor. We want to be a good teacher. We want to be a good example. If I'm telling people, oh, you should be in church, but, you know, I don't put any value on it. I don't go there. I've, you know, my son is very sick this morning. I didn't want him around you guys, so that's why he's not here. And there is cases where that will be. But for the most part, I'm going to be here. I mean, this is very, very important to me, and church always has been. Even before getting in ministry, it was something that I just could not get enough of because I know where my help comes from. I know where my hope is. Okay, well, if you're going to disciple someone, you want to enroll them in the school of Christ as a mentor and a teacher that sets a good example for your students. Okay, some would say, well, that's why I'm not actively discipling anyone right now, because I'm really just not that great of an example of a Christian. Okay, but I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to show you in the scripture, that you already are a teacher and a mentor for Christ. You already are the school that people are coming to and learning of. The people around you are being discipled by you and learning from you in one way or another. Okay, people are learning from you how a Christian acts. People are learning from you what a Christian says and does. People are learning from you what a Christian doesn't say and doesn't do. 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us then the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he has now committed unto us that word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, that term ambassador simply means a senior representative. Okay, you are the representative of Christ. You are that model. When you gave your life to Christ, you entered into the kingdom of God, and it's like you were literally approved and hired to be a teacher of Christ. And then when we received or we accepted the invitation from Christ, you accepted the position to be a teacher and to be a mentor. Okay, your classroom for sharing Christ now, your classroom is everywhere you go. Okay, no matter what you're doing, what situation you're in, that is a classroom for the people in your school that are watching and paying attention, the ones that are learning from you. You're setting the example for the students that you encounter every day. Whether it's you run into somebody at the grocery store and you're standing in the middle of the aisle gossiping and slandering somebody that you both know, okay, you are teaching or actively discipling that person that you're having conversation with. And the people that walk by and they see and hear and all this stuff going on and the gossip and that stuff, you are discipling them in the outskirts of your school just by them walking by. That I thought that one was a Christian. I thought I can't believe they would say that. And they keep right on walking. They just walk right through your school in one door and out the other. That may be the only time you're going to get to mentor or teach them anything. And that's what you just expressed to them. Okay? You teach them and everybody else that walks by how a Christian acts. Now, I know the last however many months it's been since our president was elected, but there's been a lot of talk about how the way that he acts or says is not very becoming of a president. It's not how a president should act. Okay, well, I would say there's a lot of Christians that are saying and doing stuff that's not a very good example of how a Christian should act or things that they should say. Okay, I'll tell you, it's so easy anymore with media to be able to see and experience that more than ever. But, you know, I want to get into that. Say and do the right things. That's what we need to do. Follow after Christ. Likewise, in our school that we have around us, okay, this school that people are learning from, when we're in a situation, maybe our coworkers say, you know what, gosh, we're all going bowling on Wednesday night. We got this big party going on. It's going to be great. We'll go out afterwards and spend time here and there and do this stuff. Okay, and you say, oh, man, I'd love to go, but I get together with some of my Christian friends on Wednesday night, and we do a Bible study and prayer. You just taught your friends or coworkers or whoever it was that prayer and Bible study is important to you as a Christian. That may be the only time you get to mentor them or teach them something, but they just learned something about Christianity. That, you know what, my heart is more with Jesus and God than it is with fun. Not that we can't have fun. Not that, man, I wish it was Thursday night. You know, well, you know, maybe they could move it to Thursday night. You could still go or whatever. You get the idea that if we make something a priority, that's what people are looking at your life saying, what is really going on in this guy's life? What is important to this person? What are the most important things? You know, I talked to a friend last night. Some of you guys know Pastor Roberts. And we were talking about hunting and doing things. Of course, elk season opens on what? Sunday. And so we're like, you know, he's like, oh, I suppose we can't skip church. And I'm like, no, I suppose we can't. And, you know, we talked about it, but the reality is that neither one of us is willing to do that for hunting. Okay, it's an external, it's a fun thing to do. We both enjoy it, but we're not willing to do that. It's a priority. And that didn't become just my priority as a Christian. I mean, as a Christian. It did as a Christian, not as a pastor. Okay, long before I was a pastor and in ministry, I had opportunity. I remember it in specifically living in Laramie, Wyoming, and working with my pastor there and going to church every time the doors are open. And it would be Sunday morning is opening season, and everybody's packed up going out Saturday night. Gary waits till after church on Sunday morning before he went hunting. That's just the way it was. Okay, it's a priority in your life. Well, people that I worked with, we're like, aren't you going up Saturday night? Oh, come on. I was like, no, man, I'm going to church Sunday, and then I'll be up after that. And they're like, oh. But it just taught them something about my faith. Because the God that I serve is not out in outer space somewhere. He is real to me and actively a part of my life. So I'd ask you at this point in your life, who are you discipling? Who is in your school of Christ? If we put that light in question in the light of the gospel, who are you teaching about Jesus Christ by the way you live? Everyone in here has someone that can learn from your experiences in Christ. No matter where you're at in your walk, there are people. Now, I know there's quite a few gone today, but there were some that they're brand new in their relationship with God that I know that have been coming. Okay, and they need that mentoring by somebody that maybe just, you know, a couple clicks up, man, you know, you've been walking for, you know, a few years or whatever, or you're just growing in your faith, and man, they need to hear that. They need to see it. They need to know that. Because if they don't get plugged in with people that are growing in faith, they will become part of that seed that gets snatched up by the birds or that grows up with the weeds and gets choked out. We don't want that. We want to see them grow and flourish and produce fruit in the gospel. If you're a parent and you still have kids at home, you have a school every day, okay? And you are teaching them what it means to be a Christian parent and how they should know. You have a God-given responsibility to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, I had the wonderful, wonderful blessing on Wednesday night. I hope it's okay to share, but little Clara Jane came up to me and said, Pastor Gary, come here. And she took me aside into the nursery over there and says, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Okay, that's powerful. Okay, that was such a blessing to me because for one thing, it's awesome, great for her, but also it tells me that her parents are raising her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teaching her the value of Jesus Christ even at a young age. They're not waiting until it's, you know, long gone and try to do it from a distance. It's right here, right now. You've got that influence. Use it for the gospel. Use it for the kingdom of God and share that and mentor it and put it in there so that they get to see what it really looks like. Okay, very, very few people will ever seek the Lord unless someone offers to tell them about Him. Okay, there's a few out there that on occasion they might just wake up one day and they'll see the stars or the sun or something that was God created and they'll say, God, there's got to be a God out there. Will you help me? And they may seek the Lord. That does happen. But most of the time, it's because somebody's faith is visible. Somebody is sharing enough by the way they live, they do something, that people are able to see that and they say, I kind of want what that guy's got. I want to know why they can be that confident. I want to know where their hope comes from. And they'll ask you. Or if you just say, you know what? I know you're going through a tough time. My hope, my strength comes from the Lord. If I can pray for you, that'd be awesome. And they'll receive that almost every time people will let you pray for them. Okay? And it tells them right then and there, your God is real. Your God is worth praying to. Your God is exceptional. And you believe that if you pray to Him, that their situation will get better. That's a school. That's a true discipling moment right then and there. Okay? Your friends and your coworkers all need to know and learn about the love of Jesus. They need to learn about the grace of God before it's too late. You know, we all have a certain number of days, and it's not that many. And since we can't know all the time exactly or predict when our last day is going to be or somebody else's is going to be, we should always have that compulsion to share the gospel, the saving grace, on a regular basis. I just want to wrap this up with four things that as you disciple, as you mentor, as you think about your life and what's important, if you value these four things, other people will be in the correct school. They will be getting a good education just by the way you live your life. Okay, the four subjects you will teach and emphasize as you evangelize and make disciples is, number one, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, God's not in outer space somewhere. It's personal. I'll go through these again. Number two, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through valuing the Word of God, through valuing prayer, and through valuing fellowship with other Christian believers. Those are the four things. It's a personal relationship. It's valuing the Word of God. It's valuing prayer. And it's valuing Christian fellowship. With those four things, you will be effective in making disciples and mentoring those that are around you. Now, we emphasize the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is not in outer space somewhere, and we're trying to be good enough to please Him. It doesn't work that way. So if we live our life and we know that our personal relationship came with a personal invitation to Him, like little Clara, I asked Jesus to come into my heart and into my life. That's a personal invitation to make it real, and that's what happens in somebody's life. We experience that through that personal invitation, our true relationship with Him that He intended for each and every one of us. We emphasize a personal relationship with Him through valuing the Word of God. Okay, the Word of God is not just a book with a bunch of stories in it or a few good things that we can get out of it. It is the absolute truth on all matters. Okay, it is the Word of God Himself. And as such, we can stand on it and literally hold God accountable for what's in here. God loves it when you say, God, it says in your word, and then quote a promise, quote a scripture, quote something that says, you know what? Here's one. I'll just read it. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and who has an abundant, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he hath. Okay, so if I read a scripture, I can read anywhere in there and say, God, your word says that I shall have an abundance. Okay? Your word is true, your word is right, your word is worth standing on, and God, I'm holding you accountable to it. God is okay with that. Okay? That's why it's important to read it, to study it, to memorize it. Okay, God, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Okay, through Christ Jesus. If I quote that to Him, I know whatever my situation is, my God shall supply all my need. I am not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to, you know, go down the wrong road and do something I shouldn't do, because my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory. Okay, it's something that we can stand on. Knowing God's word allows you to live in God's word, to live in the fullness of what God's plan is for your life. Okay, now we emphasize, I wrap this up, we emphasize a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by valuing prayer. Okay? We value the Word of God, we value prayer. When it's a daily part of our life, we can't help but offer to pray for other people. Okay? Praying for somebody is, like I said, it's an instant encouragement to them. It reveals to them that the God you serve is not make-believe. Okay? He is real, and that's why you want to pray to Him. To say that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, that He's your healer and your provider and your best friend without ever talking to Him is kind of absurd. Okay, we need to talk to Him and just communicate with Him. That's what keeps us connected to our very real God. Okay, your personal relationship, by emphasizing valuing the Word of God, prayer, and last but not least, you value good Christian fellowship. You enjoy being around other believers. Okay, on occasion, God may draw you to be alone with Him so He can speak something into your life, but He never intended you to go through life alone as a Christian believer. We need the koinonia. We need the fellowship. Okay, that's the Greek. We need that word. We need that fellowship. It's powerful. It is supernatural. The fellowship of the Christian believers. It is supernatural. It is above and beyond. It's not a social event. It's not a get together to tell jokes or whatever. It's a gathering together of the Spirit of God within each one of you to build that flame. If you picture the candles coming together and it makes it stronger. It is supernatural just to be together in an environment like this. A believer thrives in the church environment. They long for that next time they can be there again and to be around those kind of people. And when you're around the wrong kind of fellowship, you'll feel it. If you're seeking the Lord, you're going to know it. You're going to be like, I feel kind of icky. I feel kind of gross. I feel like this wasn't where I wanted to be. I feel like a fish out of water. I feel like something's not right here. And you begin to feel that and sense it on the inside because nothing out of your conversation, nothing out of the experiences or any of that has anything to do with God. It's all about self and seeking self and all the wrong stuff. And you'll feel it. It'll start to be like something that just doesn't seem right when you're fellowshipping with the wrong folks. Our country is pretty spoiled as a smorgasbord of ministries and churches and things that are out there. But in many countries where Christianity is maybe criticized or even unlawful to be a Christian, in those kind of countries and places, can you imagine how important that fellowship is when they're sneaking through tunnels at night to get to the secret place where the Christians are going to meet and they have one page out of a Bible, they're going to read it over and over again and pray. And can you imagine that kind of fellowship? That is precious. That is time like no other. Now they know that they're not alone. Because to be alone as a Christian, you'll get eaten up. You won't be able to handle the pressure. But when you know that somebody else believes and is standing on the same Word of God, trusting in the same God you are, it strengthens your spirit so that you'll be able to go on for the next moment. As we leave today, I want you to realize the importance of discipleship. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are learning about Him so that you can disciple others. There was a plan that God had for the spreading of the gospel, and it's you. You have a purpose in life, and you're playing a huge role in the spreading of the gospel of your Savior to get the message out one way or another. In your school that you carry with you everywhere you go, you have the ability to impact your world in a positive way for the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's live it out with the gospel. Amen. Father God, we praise You in the name of Jesus. Thank You for this day. Thank You for Your word, Father, encouraging us even here in the koinonia that we have here, in the fellowship and the Word of God, Father. And now we're seeking You and talking to You in prayer. Father, we love You and praise You, exalting You and worshiping You. Thank You for the work that You've done in our lives. Thank You for the work of the cross through Jesus Christ. Thank You for the Holy Spirit to empower us to do what we need to do. And Father, we live in it now as we go out from here as a disciple to disciple others around us, Lord. Encourage us, strengthen us, Shore us up, Father, so that we're just living it out and living the way that you lead us to and guide us to, Father, to be that example, to be that teacher and mentor for all those that we encounter in this life, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.